Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, race fans, to another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. I am the co-host. Get ready to bring on your host, Chris De La Fosse Blank Brayton. I am Mr. CJ Sports. Look forward to having another great night of NASCAR talk, racing talk. We'll have our expert analyst, Craig Moore, joining us as well. Excited about having him not only on the show, but part of the team. So excited about that. Before we jump into this, before I bring Chris on the show, I want to first of all make sure, don't you know you have to follow us at 110 Nation. You can follow or like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com. Also, I've got to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio for rebroadcasting or syndicating our show. Without these marketing partners and networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. So I want to thank each and every last one of them. But without any further delay, it's not my show. This is not the, my time in the sun. I'm going to pass it over to the man of the hour, your host, Chris. Chris, how you doing tonight? Chris, are you there?
Had that mute button on again. You know how that is. Hey, I'm trying to get this thing uploaded real quick to the live audio feed that we're going to try to run on Racing with Big Sweat. Of course, Mr. CJ Sports just introduces. We should have Craig on here in just a few minutes. It's been an interesting week. I think that we had a good weekend last weekend. Pocono, of course, was a good race, a lot of action. The race from Iowa caught me off guard just a little bit. It was a little bit earlier than I expected. Also, some fan attendance were some issues there. We'll dig on into that. Let me see if I can get this thing to play now. And we'll go into the studio. But, Mr. CJ Sports, what do you think about this weekend racing, man? Of course, we were all caught by surprise when it was announced Kurt Busch would not be back in the 41. There's obviously been some changes to that effect as well, right?
It depends on which headline you read. One group of people say he's not going to be back in that car, and another group of people says that he is going to be back in that car. So I'm really intrigued to know, A, who is going to be in that 41 car, but also B, where the mix-up went, who leaked the wrong information. I'm kind of curious to know how that happened.
Yeah, it's definitely a cross-up of some information there between, obviously, management dropped the ball on this one. PR disaster was written all over it. But what it sounds like, and Kevin Harvick come on later on and kind of made it clear, that this is just part of the negotiation process. It's really nothing unusual. That's what makes us believe that the information may have been leaked just a little bit too early, but, you know, it's still a possibility. There, you know, the 41 may have a driver change. Is Craig in yet? Do we have Craig here?
No, he's still not in.
Oh, Craig. Okay, good. Well, not good, but we'll go with it. It's definitely motorsports is kind of evolving like the rest of the sports have over the last 30 years, and I believe this is maybe some adopting of the new style that they're doing in NASCAR. I'm not necessarily happy with the way that this has come out, because I believe that, you know, Kurt Busch as a driver should be respected well enough not to find out through Twitter that there may or may not be an option picked up hours before the option should be picked up. So obviously it caught a lot of people off guard, including his wife. So, you know, it was interesting to see how all that played out. But it really just goes to more of the business issue that we have right now with the top tier racing in NASCAR. And this is one of those situations that, you know, their drivers are protected under a union. I'm not going to get on this radio and start screaming union for race car drivers. I promise you that. But what players union in football, basketball, baseball, they have representation. When something like this is going on, there would have never been leaked in those types of sports. But at the same time, we say it wouldn't, but then we also heard, you know, last week that Kyrie Irving was wanting to ditch LeBron. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's the best of – it's there's never going to be the best of both worlds in any of this. And I think that maybe it give Kurt Busch a little bargaining power, if anything. What do you think about that?
I mean, it could have. I mean, well, what does Kurt Busch really have to bargain with? He won the Daytona 500 and maybe one other race. I'd have to look in the entire time he's been over at Stuart Haas race. That might be his only win. I can't remember. So, I mean, to me, Kurt Busch doesn't have a lot to bargain with, in my opinion, anyway. So,
I disagree with that. I think that Kurt has come back from the pits of hell in his career. Leading off the season with a Daytona 500 win, it was amazing, not just for Kurt, but also the entire number 41 team. It was monster energy on the hood. And I think that goes a long way. Now, I will remind folks that Mr. Gene Haas personally selected Kurt Busch to come over. And I believe in this situation where your name kind of got leaked out that you didn't have a ride and that you kind of, you know, now every car owner in NASCAR knows that Kurt Busch could be available. There's plenty of open rides. If Kurt Busch had a sponsorship check to come with him, I guarantee you he could just buy a ride. That's going to be an issue that I want to talk about later on. We're just now kind of touching that part. When I said it's the business of racing, that's kind of the topic of discussion tonight because racing is good. Racing is great. Man, just this week they announced no more halfway line. Now the start-finish line is the point of where the caution can come out. So no more overtime line like on the other side of the track. So now the fans in the backstretch don't get to see the winner every week. I can kind of see where start finish line people were a little upset over that. Can't you? Can you, Mr. CJ Sports?
but two things. I think one, this change kind of stemmed off what happened at Indianapolis, which I think that NASCAR made the right call there and let them get to that half, to the overtime line, because they weren't restarting that race anyway. It was too dark. That was it. Whatever happened was going to happen, and that was it. But honestly, what is going to change so much? I'm fine with the moving line. Don't get me wrong. It's not that big of a deal to me. My question is, does it really change the race that much that they move it a half a track? Does that quarter to a half a mile, maybe a mile at most, is it going to make that much of a difference if they're wrecking on the other side of the track anyway? Is it really going to make that big of a difference?
No, I don't think it ever made a difference in the first place. That's what makes the whole overtime thing bogus. What it comes down to is fans want to see the finish. They want to see the start line finish. They want the race to not end under caution. And NASCAR has gone way out of the way to defend that for the fans and to bring that to them. But there's been no leeway. The fans want it this way or no way. We're not going to go back to racing back to the caution. But technically, the way the overtime rule was, we were racing back to the caution. We were racing until the caution flag was waved instead of the caution flag being the significant point of the wreck. And I think that that's where NASCAR dropped the ball. If they had been freezing the field where the wreck started, and use that philosophy, I think that the overtime line would have worked a lot better because all the issues were about that they wrecked just before the overtime line, and by the time NASCAR threw the flag, it was already the end of the race by NASCAR's account. So that little bit of leeway right there kind of crushed the idea, and I think NASCAR just said, you know what, scrap it. You know, we're going to try our best to finish under green, and the other way was a lot less confusing. I give them props, but I feel like they were headed in the right direction. They were just – their standardized policy wasn't announced in the first place that they would cut. In other words, when they're writing those books, sometimes they're not as smart as what they think they are, because in racing, anything can happen. When you point at that wall and say there's no way a driver will hit that wall, guess what happens in that race? That driver finds that wall somehow. So You have to. It's hard to predict every scenario possible, but in that case, they kind of missed the ball there. If they would have just made that simple change to where they'll freeze the field when the caution comes out, I think that would have totally made everybody happy. Because if it happened before the overtime line or after, the problem was is the overtime line become the start-finish line, and that's not right.
Uh-huh. Now, fans and listeners, I want to remind you, this whole overtime line and all this is not NASCAR's fault, and I think NASCAR gets a lot of blame for this. If you all remember correctly, if we're going to throw blame to all this madness and then change the rule once again, you need to put the blame where it deserves, and that's Kevin Harvick at Talladega. If it wouldn't have been for that incident that he last-ditch effort took out half the field so the race would have to end right then, we wouldn't even have this overtime line. So the NASCAR fans blaming NASCAR and everything else, I really wish they would stop blaming NASCAR. I think that NASCAR gets a lot of blame for things they shouldn't, and ultimately this rule was made because of what Kevin Harvick did. I'm not blaming Kevin Harvick, or I'm not saying that I would have done the same thing. You know, my championship run relied on me taking out half the field to stop the race, then I'm going to do what I got to do, right or wrong. But let's not blame, and listeners, let's not blame NASCAR in this whole overtime line and your dissatisfaction, because your favorite drivers out there,
I'm so happy,
would have been racing.
Go ahead.
I'm saying if your favorite drivers out there would have been racing the way they should have been racing and went by the gentleman's code or whatever, instead of what Kevin Harvick did, we wouldn't have been in this whole mess anyway.
And you said that so well. We as fans have a problem of a hoopla and carrying on to where it doesn't make any sense. And we have created this problem, and I'm glad that we admitted that. But at the same time, let's not harp on it. You know, let's give once again credit to NASCAR. There's plenty of people out there that are going to bash the business, and that's fine. You're going to have your haters, because Earnhardt always said it didn't matter if they were booing or they were cheering, they were still listening. You know what I mean? And that's what it's all
mm-hmm.
about. So there's going to be those naysayers. There's going to be those problem children, I guess. But for the most part, fans really do see a change in NASCAR. Also, there was a 10% increase in IMS sales, ticket sales, and I think that's another sign of improvement. It's definitely a long way to go, but it's definitely a sign of improvement with the changes that NASCAR has made. Also, it's been rumored, and I don't want to the source is actually an affiliate that we heard it from, not an affiliate, a colleague of ours, that there may be a possibility of Monster Energy linking a long-term deal with NASCAR. So that's all great news. And once again, you know, Mr. CJ Sports, I think Monster Energy's really come in and added some new life, some monsters worth of energy into NASCAR. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. And I had heard that as well. I heard that the reason that Monster, this is what I heard, that Monster was pulling its sponsorship from the 41 car, which I think this is part of why the whole Kurt Busch thing came out. But from what I heard was that they're pulling their sponsorship. That's because they're working on doing a 10-year extension, and so that's kind of where they're going to allocate their money to versus, you know, be the primary sponsor and sponsor cars, and rightfully so. I don't blame them. I wouldn't blame them if they would have pulled sponsorship off Kurt Busch's car this year, because being a primary sponsor costs you millions of dollars. It's not a cheap thing to do. And so, you know, I wouldn't have had an issue with that. I know that 41 team and Stuart Haas Racing would have, and I think that I'm glad to see Monster honored their contract and stuck with it, and we're obviously going to see how this unfolds, and this might just be rumor. But that's just what I heard, that, you know, that was part of what was going on, was they were going to pull their sponsor because they're working on doing a 10-year deal and being the primary sponsor for a while now.
Yeah, bad news, guys. The racing feed. I've got to bring in a better microphone system. The live feed did not work. My jerry rig didn't work here. So sorry, guys, if y'all were listening on the live feed. I come in and realized that the thing I had set up wasn't working. So sorry, guys, for that. Looking for Craig Moore. Is Craig on yet?
I changed studio again. I was just in there a second ago and I didn't see him in there.
So anyway, we're excited about having Craig. Hopefully he'll join us here shortly, momentarily. I hadn't seen him on Facebook. So anyway, we'll be waiting on Craig here. Also, there was a little bit of ruckus this week. Of course, when one Bush brother is in the news, you got to have the other Bush brother as well. But he had some good points of what he said. He was actually talking about this week NASCAR announced that there will be changes once again to the participation of Cup drivers in the smaller series. That includes the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Kyle Busch owns a Truck Series team. He made a statement on Sirius XM Radio with Dave Moody that if this is going to be the way that NASCAR goes, then if they're going to limit him altogether of being able to race, then he basically has a problem with that and will look further into whether or not he wants to continue his investment in the Truck Series. Is that good or bad there, CJ? Because I'm kind of seeing that as maybe it's tough to lose a high-power team like that, a big powerhouse team. But at the same time, is it not identity that we're looking for in the Truck Series? I'll let you go with that.
I have an issue with what Kyle Busch said. I am a big Kyle Busch fan. It is Annika and Kyle Busch is who I'm fans of. I have a big problem, and I usually don't have a problem. When everybody bashes Kyle Busch, he's acting like a brat, and he blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, but if your driver's not getting emotional and showing it and frustrated, then you're probably cheering for the wrong guy. I want that guy that it bothers him that he's not winning races. But I have a problem with this. I thought being a team owner was a way for you to give back to the sport. I thought it was a way for you to help develop drivers to keep the sport going in the right direction, especially since now NASCAR throughout all the – from the K&N series all the way up has finally hit a massive amount of talent that I don't think the sport has ever seen all come through the sport at the same time, and it is great every level to see how talented they are. I understand that it's got to be aggravating to own a truck team and not be able to participate, but I didn't think it was about him. I thought it was about the opportunity having Chris Bell and Noah Gragson in there and someday help develop them to race you. And that's what you just got done saying is he doesn't want to develop drivers if one day he's going to have to race again if he's not going to be able to be out there and race with them now. I don't like that. My whole thing is I have no problem with Kyle Busch or Brad Keselowski being out there running their trucks or out there being in the Xfinity Series. But I have a problem with it when they have the best equipment and it's distorting the chase program or the stage program that Monster's brought in. What I mean is, okay, if Kyle Busch wants to race his truck, I'm fine, but you own your team. You do not get any help from any affiliation, no satellite. You're the financial provider. You have your own shop. You do not get your equipment from Joe Gibbs Racing. And I would not have a problem with him being out there in his own equipment, running for a championship, and running every race. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I do have a problem with him having his affiliation and watching him dominate every race. As much as I'm a Kyle Busch fan, it gets boring. So I have an issue with what he said because I thought this was an opportunity for him to give back to the sport that has given him everything he's wanted. He's a millionaire. He gets to race. He gets to travel. He gets to raise his family. I mean, what else can you ask for? And I thought, to me, this was an opportunity for you to give back to the sport to help support an organization that gave you your dreams. And I think this is the first time that I've had an issue with what's come out of Kyle Busch's mouth.
I'm actually completely shocked that you said that because I know that you're a fan. But at the same time, I think you and I are on the opposite ends of this situation because I kind of agree with what Kyle says. I think that there's pros and cons to this whole situation. I do understand that Kyle Busch has one of the powerhouse teams, and he invests a lot of his own money, in other words, his personal contract money, is turned around and invested into the season crop of young drivers. And with that reward, he's able to go out there and beat and bang with them or beat them every week. In other words, if you beat Kyle Busch, you're good enough to drive a Joe Gibbs car. I really feel that that's how Kyle Busch looks at it. If you think that Kyle Busch doesn't own that team because he doesn't want to race, I'm going to have to kind of ask, you know, do you understand the life of a race car driver? He always wants to win, and sure, he'll give to the sport, but he's also looking to take a little something as well, and that's the checker flag on a Saturday night. I think that
I'm fine with that, but don't have an affiliation with any other team. Do it on your own. I have no problem with him being out there, but I want the play field. I want an opportunity to see the I want to see the opportunity to Chris Bell be out there and have a legitimate shot against Kyle Busch or Brad Keselowski or Noah Gragson or Ben Rhodes or Nemechek or Custer, any of them out there. I want to see them have a legitimate shot. And I'm sorry, when you're using Kyle, you put Kyle Busch in an equipment that is essentially owned by Joe Gibbs Racing, even though it's Kyle Busch Motorsports, he's getting the stuff from JGR. You're putting one of the best drivers in our generation, if not the best driver, in the best equipment against a bunch of drivers that are not as talented as him or even on the same level at this point. And I have an issue with that. At least if he's trying to financially put back into the sport and have his own shop, therefore he's financially got to have his own crew and everything else, not getting Lindy down from Joe Gibbs Racing, which you're still not investing back into it. You're not... I have an issue with it. I have no problem with the Cup guys being there, but do it on your own. Have your team and let's make it even. Let's level up the play field a little bit, and that way we still get to see you guys out there on Friday night. The sponsors are still happy. The fans still get to see it, but it's more competitively done to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean I have to say you've got some valid points. And you kind of do want it to be not a nursery, but also a place of nourishment for young talent. So those kind of do go together. But what KBM is saying and what Kyle Busch is saying as a businessman, it makes no sense. And if I'm not allowed to participate, then I shouldn't have to fill cars for Joe Gibbs. And I think that manufacturing support has a lot to do with that. But we're also talking about trucks here. So Kyle Busch may be bargaining on, I want an investment of your nationwide team, because I believe wholeheartedly, Mr. CJ Sports, that Crate Motors are the future in truck racing. I've said this here already. I'll say it again. I'm not going to be repetitive, but I am going to be repetitive, because Crate Motors could be the valuable option to make the truck series more affordable. We have not yet got to the pay-for-a-ride thing that I believe is a scheme. I mean, I believe that car owners are putting themselves in jeopardy by allowing the driver to have that control of the sponsorship, because at any point in time you can build a race team around your driver, but he can go to the next team the moment he wants to, and now you're bankrupt because you didn't get your $25 million this year to run the race team because he decided to go somewhere else. So I think that there's a lot of danger in that, and I didn't mean to jump to it so quickly because I really wanted to save it for the last of the show, but I told y'all, this is a show where we're going to talk about the business side of racing, and from this standpoint, I believe all this stuff is coinciding with each other. Keselowski, the main holdup that I understand in his deal was he needed some help funding this truck series team that he has, because it's costing him millions of dollars. There's a reason why car owners, the big league car owners, are not invested into the truck series by themselves. Years ago they were. They've slowly all made their way out of competition. When Richard Childress left a couple of years ago, that left a big void, because as long as Childress was there producing trucks, I think that people felt like there was top-notch equipment being reproduced every year for the truck series. Now the powerhouse team looks to be KBM and GMS, which is getting support from Hendrick. But these guys are going to have to build their own chassis. That means trucks are not going to be built as quickly. Moving in the direction of a crate motor could definitely maybe soften the amount of payload it takes for some of these young guys to get in the race cars. And I'll let you follow through with some of the stuff I just talked about.
GMS, didn't I see somewhere where they're getting ready to have an Xfinity Series team or a Cup team? Isn't that what they're working towards?
Yes, I do believe that that's an option, but, man, you know, the way that the racing business is, you might think you have enough money, but until you have that team, it's going to be hard for us to sit here and think that GMS is going to make that big leap and be competitive when they do it. I think Harry Scott found that out from being successful with Turner Motorsports to being a car owner, and I'm not bringing him up to not regard the fact that he did pass away today at 51 years old. Harry Scott had several drivers in his unit that we all know are household names now, Kyle Larson included, Danica Patrick, several other drivers as well that raced under him, Justin Allgaier, Clint Bowyer. So, you know, Harry hadn't been in racing but since 2006, 2007, but he definitely left his mark for a lot of drivers to remember, a lot of people to remember him. So I didn't mean to get off subject there, but go ahead, Jason.
Oh, you're good. I was just trying to remember if that's what I saw somewhere. I try to remember back to the.
You know, the thing behind Spencer Gallagher is his father owns a major airline company, and so you know the money could be there. It's definitely made Howard Hughes a lot of money, if you know what I mean. The airline business, but you know, how far does he want to see his son go? Is the next question. How much does he want to invest to help get him there? Hopefully, Spencer's got some talent, and it wouldn't be a waste of time for his father to do this. But you know, once again, that goes into the business side of it, and how many dads are out there spending way much more money than what they can really afford for just one shot at their kid getting a chance?
We've seen how long Brian Scott made it, and I'm surprised that Paul Menard's dad is throwing out as much money as he has outside of that dominating win at the Brickyard. Paul Menard.
Right. Eric McClure, another one, you know. Eric McClure's father was a very wealthy man. And so, you know, I mean, it does. Most of the talented race car drivers are not of those big names, you know. Tony Stewart. Kyle Larson, all those guys come from the bread and butter, those short tracks, and made a name for themselves. Which gets us into this other subject that we have. Ryan Preece, man. How about you, Ryan Preece? Come on. Let me get something from you. How about Ryan Preece? He's been on the show.
Yes. He's been on Hot Laps with Stats. I got an opportunity earlier this year while I was at the Myrtle Beach Speedway to talk to him for a few minutes. I'm glad to see he's getting this opportunity. I'm glad that you know, he had two starts in the Xfinity Series this year. He got a second place behind, I think, Kyle Busch. And they got the first place finish last week when they didn't have the regulars out there, and it was one hell of a show. And we truly got to see the Xfinity Series guys do their thing. And I'm hoping to get the opportunity to be at Kentucky, the ARCA Series and Xfinity Series run together, and that's the track he's returning to. I'm hoping this leads into an opportunity for a full season. How great would it be to see somebody, do it and go through the ranks and, you know, do the local tracks and get into open wheel stuff, to open well and modified series, and that lead him getting into the Xfinity Series ride. And how about Joe Gibbs Racing having an eye out for talent and scouting him and giving him his opportunity? That's a really cool deal.
Don't give me that. No. Joe Gibbs isn't scouting the talent, man. No. There's a price tag on that car, man. And Ryan Preece had to come up with a certain amount of number to run it. And we all know that because it's been written about. And that's the problem. You know, that's the problem here. You know, these kids are having to come up with a couple of $100,000 just for one ride in a car. They probably don't even get to keep the freaking winnings either. So, you know, it almost sounds like, and man, don't fire me for this. It sounds like a prostitution ring, man. I swear, you know, it's pay to dance. It's like a strip club, yeah. Man. You got to pay to dance. I have a problem with that. And maybe we'll hit into that a little bit more. But Preece is a great kid. I have a feeling that Toyota Racing Development has issues on their hand with the amount of cars that they're fielding and the amount of talent that's in the pool right now. There is a lot of talent, and the one thing that I think of the most right here is, how does Christopher Bell feel? Where does Christopher Bell fall in all this? Because Christopher Bell is already the odd man out. Now it looks like Ryan Preece is coming along. Do you see the other manufacturers maybe jumping on this, CJ Sports?
don't know. Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota definitely got their hands full with all this talent that's coming up and coming through the rank. Well, you know, they're going to have to find both these guys a ride and real quick. I know that somebody threw out – who was it? Somebody threw out Chris Bell's name to step into that 77 car. And so that would be interesting, you know. And there's been a couple other cars that Christopher Bell's name's been thrown in. I don't think he's ready to make that jump yet. I would like to see him in the Xfinity Series. But say what, they're definitely going to have their hands full, especially if Ryan Preece goes out and has another performance like he has in the first two performances. And now you got to find rides for these drivers. You can't have them you can't have both of them just sitting there waiting around, because the talent that both of these drivers have, somebody's going to get them. And somebody's going to give them their opportunity in the Cup Series, and Joe Gibbs Racing or Toyota is going to be sitting there, you know, looking kind of stupid because they didn't provide an opportunity for these drivers.
Oh, man, I mean, you nailed it there. You nailed it there, CJ Sports. And you got to wonder if maybe that's where this GMS team has maybe a bargaining point for Toyota. You know, Toyota definitely needs another satellite team. And maybe we see some things, you know, coming to fold there to make sure that the talent doesn't run off. I mean, when you've got, you know, TRD spent a lot of money in the in the K&N East and West Series, and in the ARCA Series, and well, I'm not sure about ARCA, but also in the Truck Series, they're manufacturing support to KBM. So, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of investment here, and the last thing that you want to do is be the conveyor belt for other manufacturers. Ford went out a few years ago and picked every driver that was hot. They got Brad Gay. They got Joey Logano. They turned around and pulled Kevin Harvick out of a Chevrolet and put him in a Ford, man. I mean, the return of Kurt Busch to Ford. Danica Patrick. How many commercials with that Chevrolet bow tie in the background did we see, and now she's in a Ford, man. So Ford went out and they bought their talent, but it's paying dividends as well for the Ford manufacturing teams. And I see Ford growing from that, and especially with this long line of extra talent that is here at the bottom. I'm looking at Roush Racing, two full-time teams. Man, bring back Matt Kenseth. Cat in the Hat, listen to me. Bring back Matt Kenseth. He can be a guard. He can be a teacher for Trevor and for Ricky. I believe that if Roush went back out and he grabbed his driver that happened to go to the dark side, in the end, Roush would be more successful last year, and we're looking at multiple wins by multiple drivers at Roush Fenway. What do you think about that, CJ?
I think Roush has finally got them a program again. We've seen that with strong finishes by Trevor Bayne and wins by Ricky Stenhouse. I wouldn't mind seeing Matt Kenseth back there to finish up his career and help elevate Jack Roush Racing back to where it once was. That would be an interesting situation. Obviously, I think all of us are sitting around to find out what Matt Kenseth is going to do for next season and where the rest of these moves are going to go. You know, there's rumors of the 41 car, the 10 car, the 77 car. You know, all these five cars, we have no idea where anybody is sitting right now. And we got a few drivers out there that are in limbo, like Matt Kenseth, that we're trying to find out what the next move is going to be. Kurt Busch, another one. So it would be interesting.
The longer these guys sit, CJ Sports, the longer these guys sit in the cars that they're driving, the more it looks like they're going to stay where they are. You know, we went through the roly-poly week last week where drivers' names were getting thrown out there if they were hitting, you know, and we found out that, you know, there was some big deals in place. Keselowski kind of shook the table until it was, you know, just a little bit wobbly with his whole idea of maybe being up to offer somewhere else. But once he signed that deal back with Penske, it's kind of like the pendulum swung back to, okay, there's no real big open rides here. Paul Menard is the biggest news since other than Kurt Busch, of course. And so, you know, there's still an open seat over here at Richard Childress. That sounds like, you know, it's not being advertised too much. Maybe he's flirting with the water. But it seems like the more and more you flirt, the less and less things happen. You know that from past experience, right?
A couple things with that. Is there really no really announcement or any big deal? Because when you think Ty Dillon would get out of the satellite team over there in the 13 car and jump on board into that other car, I'm assuming that's why there's not been anything publicly announced for, you know, it being a big deal that that ride's open. I was assuming Ty Dillon was going to take that seat anyway. But to me, the Wood Brothers move, are you really willing to I understand that sponsorship is a big deal, but it is, I don't know, I just feel you're sacrificing wins and championship possibilities just for a guaranteed sponsorship by Menard. Like, I don't think Wood Brothers has the sponsorship issue right now. I don't think Motorcraft and the sponsors they have had on board this year would go anywhere if they brought a young, talented driver like Ryan Blaney on board and that be your driver. So I question whether or not there's even a sponsorship issue. I know sponsorship's a big part of the decisions being made. I just feel there's a sacrifice being made for a guaranteed sponsor. You're taking wins and a possible championship away versus taking a chance, bringing a young driver in and getting sponsorship that you've not had a problem since you've been back. And with your affiliation with Penske, you've not had a sponsorship problem since you've gone back to full-time racing.
And once again, I think, Mr. CJ Sports, we would be totally shocked at what Motorcraft actually writes a check for every year. I don't believe that Motorcraft has upped their ante since Wood Brothers was a part-time team. I think what the issue was with Blaney, and we've seen several times the Wood Brothers car actually had other sponsorships that were Penske-related. So those were obviously billboard signs. I believe Penske was business as usual with the 21. He knew that Motorcraft and Quick Lane were going to offer such and such amount of sponsorships. It was up to Penske to field the car. And just as honorary to the Wood Brothers, through most of the year, they've just allowed the Quick Lane Motorcraft emblems to run on that car without very much money actually being tied into it. So I think that's really the issue there, because I've seen that the deal with Menards is 22 races. So that means 10 races are picked up by another sponsor. I think that's where Motorcraft and Quick Lane, that's been their normal amount of sponsorship for the last 5 to 6 years. I don't believe that there's actually more money coming out of that. Now, what I hate to see is Ford Manufacturing putting a lot of money into other places when you have such a prestigious team like the 21. I would like to see any kind of an investment from Ford into the 21. In other words, there's a reason why Motorcraft and Quick Lane are on the side of that car, because they're Ford-related. Even if you have to bring back the quality care service, number 88, and just take the 88 off and put the 21 on the side of the door, I feel that, you know, Wood Brothers has not been able to really expand their team. We've just seen a satellite team where everything's taken care of, including the paint job on the car.
I just feel there's being sacrificed to me for a game.
I feel like, okay, all right, you left it there. Okay, you were too, you took too long to come out with what you had to say, because I'm ready to add more popper to the pop, okay? I believe Paul Menard is a better driver now than what he was 3 years ago. I'll put it out there. Paul Menard has found a way to take care of a race car over the last couple of years. So Paul Menard, given the opportunity and the right money, and they know that this Menard's money can get them the same equipment that they were getting from Penske. This is the bottom dollar. Nothing's really going through the Wood Brothers' hands. It's just a pass-through from Menards to Wood Brothers to Penske so that they can continue to try to be competitive every week. And being Menard and how he's raced over the last couple of years since his Brickyard, you know, his infamous Brickyard win, so unusual there, right? Since that win, he's really showed us that he can take care of equipment week in, week out. That was a big issue with Paul Menard, not only when he was with DEI, but also through every other ride that he's gone through. Richard Childress found a way to get consistent results from Paul Menard.
I may agree with you that Paul Menard's a better driver now than he was 3 years ago, but if I had an organization and I had to put a driver in my car, I would put Ryan Blaney in that car over Paul Menard. So, I mean, he might be a better driver than he was 3 years
ago.
And
I agree totally. There's no way that I can disagree that I would rather see Ryan Blaney in that 21 car than anybody. I mean, that's without comparison. Ryan made the 21 relevant again. He made people forget that Trevor Bayne actually won the Daytona 500 and hasn't done anything since, you know.
No. I was going to say, I felt Trevor Bayne put 21 back on the map. I guess it's more because I was there when he put Wood Brothers back into victory lane. That was my first Daytona 500. So maybe I look at it a little bit differently. But because of medical issues, Trevor Bayne couldn't do the full schedule. And that kind of messed up the plans until Trevor Bayne got back. But by that time, they had done went to a reduced schedule and then went to other drivers. I think Trevor Bayne has gotten better and is helping Jack Roush get better and better, him and Stenhouse together. But my feelings are he helped kind of push the 21 team back in the direction that they needed to go to become a full-time team once again. And that's just honestly how I feel about Trevor Bayne.
It was a miracle.
Daytona 500.
It was a miracle. David Reagan had that race won. He was the dominant factor all day long. Reagan made a big mistake. I've seen him make the same mistake again twice, I think, since. David really kicks himself in the butt for that one. Trevor, the win was magnificent. It was his first Cup race, actually second Cup race. He had raced at Texas back in the October race the year before. I think it really did a lot of great things at the time when Trevor won, but nobody really backing Trevor took the fizzle right out, because I know coming up to Bristol, I was like, oh, he's a Daytona 500 winner. Every sponsor is going to want to be on his back. It's the first time ever that it was basically insignificant that a driver won the Daytona 500. It's supposed to be, if you won that race, your sponsorship was going to be there for the rest of the year, or at least that's how they portrayed it in Days of Thunder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So something kind of happened there with Trevor, and he wasn't given the full opportunity that I think we all expected. Ryan Blaney also stepped in the car for minimum races and only went full-time after Penske felt like he was good enough to go full-time racing.
That same year, and that's why they had to pull or restrict themselves.
I know that it was either that year or the next year he ended up having medical issues. That's why Trevor Bayne had to step out of that ride for a while,
and that's when everybody started going a different direction. I just couldn't remember if it was the year he won the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
I actually think it was the year after there, CJ Sports. If I'm not mistaken, it was kind of in his second year. The first year was a roller coaster ride for him, I mean, no doubt. And winning the Daytona 500, getting to go around, I think he really felt that he was going to go, that, you know, he was going to, his career was going to catapult. And then obviously with the sickness, the illness, all that was kind of handled in the wrong way because nobody knew what was wrong with him. And that doubt come in people's mind, and so he's really had to rebound from that. And, you know, we haven't seen the best of Trevor Bayne. We don't really know the amount of talent that he has. I think he's a talented kid. I've also seen him wreck an awful lot of race cars, and a lot of times you don't get one with – in the beginning of their career, you'll see a lot of wrecks, but somewhere or another in the third year, they kind of streaming out, just like Ricky. Unless he wrecks with Danica, that, you know, he's pretty much able to keep his nose clean. But in his earlier career, you know, he found the wall a lot of times.
Mike chimed in and said Paul Menard has been more competitive in Xfinity than Cup. But I also look at it as I feel RCR is a little bit more competitive as a team in the Xfinity Series versus the Cup as well.
Yeah, good point there, Mike. Good point. So, you know, it goes back into this pay for a ride business. What's your attitude? Is this the right way for the owners to do it? Should they be sitting there basically with a for sale sign on the in the front of their garage, with the amount paid of $200,000, you can drive one of these nice, fancy cars. That kind of sounds like a car dealership, doesn't it?
You know, I saw something about the charter and them wanting to get it down to 36, and that's it. There's no extra. And, you know, it was a good point that was brought up that the NFL doesn't have 32 teams, but if you want to put a team together, you can go participate in week 5 or week 7. And so I kind of like that terminology. Would you have a problem with NASCAR saying, look, we're going to have 36 teams, 36 teams only? You know, you buy your charter, you're in for this year. And you know, until someone wants to give up a spot or however, you know, find a way to be able to, you know, get someone else in if you got a new team coming or whatever. But would you have a problem with them walking in and saying, this is the amount of teams we got, you buy your spot, and this is it. There's no racing in. There's no, I know there's a catch-22 because now you don't have young teams and drivers and opportunities that some of these guys get. But we don't do this in any other sport. We don't do this in the NFL. We don't do this in Major League Baseball. You can't just start up a team and say, you know what, well, we're going to play in Week 10. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, I think any time that we move that that number, we're going to drop two cars. That's because somebody's going to be fearful they're not going to make the race or the investment isn't there. And as long as these charters are here as well, that's the bottom pay line. It's not profitable at all for a startup team to come in without a charter because they're not going to be able to afford the expenses that it takes to run one of these cup teams. So if they move the charter to 36, I just feel like that what's going to happen is we're going to have 34 cars showing up like we do now. And the switching and trading of charters, I think what they should make sure is that there's a 36-car field period every weekend. And NASCAR should learn how to have a couple of field fillers if need be. You see, some of these lower or higher and mid-range teams, show up with your backup car. Throw a number on the side of it. You know, but it's not profitable to them because they're not part of the charter service. So, once again, the business concept is keeping things from advancing in a good direction because it seems like every time we make a change to the field and how many cars are supposed to be in it, mysteriously two more cars disappear. We're already down to four super teams and the rest nunchucks. And so I think that's a pitiful spot for the sport to be in. But I say that, and we've had 16 competitive drivers win races this year, man. I mean, who would have thought coming into the beginning, and I know the incumbent went blah, blah, blah about Joey Logano. I think that NASCAR's crapped on Joey Logano. It's a win and you're in, and I haven't seen him make an incumbent win to anybody else other than Joey Logano. As a matter of fact, it was so long ago, I can't even remember what this is encumbered for. So it seems like Joey got the shaft. Nobody else is getting this kind of penalty. Or maybe he was just used as the example. Now it looks like he's going to miss the playoffs in a year where we've had so many different winners. Is this really the image that we wanted to possess, that, hey, this one guy made a rule infraction and now he can't race, but there's other guys who don't even show up to tech with all their lug nuts on their car and they don't get an encumbered win? What's the deal here? Where's the consistency at?
I don't remember what the infraction was either. This is what I talked about this last night. I want to see 17 winners. Ever since day one, when Dale Jr. won the very first race when we went to the Chase, he won the Daytona 500, and in his interview, the first thing come out of his mouth is, we won, we're in, we have pretty much nothing else to worry about. I have always wanted to see 17 drivers win in those beginning races, just so we watch them scramble around the very first year. What I would love to see happen this year, I would love to see we have three winners the next three races. And so we have our 16th winner. And then, because I'm anti-Junior, and I said this the other night, I would love to see Junior win. So he gets that win. I would love to see him win the 17th race, and be the 17th winner, be at Richmond, and be 17th in the points, where he got that win. But by point, he's not technically in. Is see what NASCAR does, whether or not they do a Jeff Gordon thing, and all of a sudden we're going to be able to add another car for some reason or another. Or are we going to see a bunch of team penalties and violations that we ain't seen that many in 1 week to get people penalized and points? Or does Junior get to be left out even though he's got that win? I so badly want to see that.
Yeah, I think that's a jerk move there, bro. I really do. Make all the junior fans get upset and see if they can make NASCAR change its rules just for them. That's kind of a jerk move there, man. Are you sure you really want to see that happen? Because I feel like Richmond probably would not be able to be raced at for two more years if Junior wasn't allowed to join the playoffs. It's a great scenario, and it's definitely possible. That Junior could go into this and actually have that opportunity and watch it, you know, basically not happen.
If somebody out of the ordinary, maybe A.J. Allmendinger win at Watkins Glen again, or somebody, Clint Bowyer or Danica Patrick, win at Watkins Glen out of the ordinary, I think there's a real good possibility we'll at least get 16 winners. Okay. I think Logano's good for another win. I think Kenseth is good for a win. I think Chase Elliott, the way he's performed at Michigan, has been a runner-up a couple times, is good for a win. I think if we get somebody out of those three or four drivers to win at Watkins Glen, I think we could possibly see 16 or 17. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a different winner at Watkins Glen out of the ordinary. I wouldn't be surprised if we did get at least 16 winners. And then I lose them.
I feel like whatever this is in the playoffs, however many cars are going to show up, the championship, Mr. CJ Sports, has already been won. And it's been won by Martin Truex Jr. I don't see any other way. I've done the math. I've sat down. I mean, with all these bonus points that he's going to carry into it, bro, I mean, they could basically sit back, run 20th all through the playoffs. As long as they show up with their hot stuff for Homestead, they're going to be the winner. I mean, you're looking at 30-plus points that they could be rolling into Homestead with. You know, they could actually go into Homestead, crown the champion. Is this not possible? They could be the crown the champion before they even get to Homestead. Would that not piss a few folks off in NASCAR?
You can't. The points only get you to Homestead. Once you get to Homestead, it's zeroed out. So it's zeroed out at Homestead.
So he can coast all the way to Homestead regardless. Okay,
yeah.
I'm glad that they thought about that. Yeah, I was confused on that. So
no, it gets you to Homestead. After that, then Homestead, it's his own thing.
So it just basically gives you a bye week all the way to the last race of the season. I think that that's a good way to look at it, a good way to call it. Martin Truex gets a bye week through the whole playoffs. He is the number one seed for the playoffs.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to look at it that way. I think it gives them an opportunity in the playoffs to gamble a little bit more and go for the win a little bit more, knowing that they got this pad with the playoff point.
Almost a whole race ahead says different, though, Mr. CJ Sports. Being almost a whole race ahead through all these events makes it a totally different playing field.
So who else
is going to have almost a whole field ahead of everybody else? I mean, they can have a bad break in every playoff segment and still make it to Homestead. I mean, it really, with the amount, they bought themselves this bye week. It wasn't ever intended. They bought themselves this bye segment, you know, this bypass through the segments by earning these stage points. And I think that next year, the stage points are going to mean a lot more to a lot more drivers, which means we may not be calling it NASCRAP, whatever the haters call it. We won't be calling it NAPCAR. There you go, NAPCAR. thank you for putting that up on the screen there, NAPCAR. NAPCAR. We'll see a lot more action going on actually on the track during these segment racing. I know that there's some people out there, including my father, who Steve is completely against this segment racing. He's had all year long to watch it. He's had all year long to try to figure it out. And as an old school race fan, he totally dislikes it. There's nothing I can do to help him change that theory either. So I think that there's still going to be some doubters. And if Martin Truex does basically earn himself a bye segment through both of the early segments and into the Homestead, I think that people are going to question whether or not the segments are good, and I'm a big fan of them. So I know you're a big fan of them too. I'll let you go with that.
I realize that Martin Truex right now has got a 13-point playoff advantage over the field. And then once you get past that, it gets closer and closer. Once we get into the playoffs, I understand, like I said, I understand he's got a pretty good lead right now. I don't think that lead will look as big once we get into the playoffs. Because what normally happens when we get into the chase, those top 16 drivers finish up front. There's a reason why they're in the playoffs. And they all consistently run up front. They all consistently lead. They all consistently will have stage wins, so they'll get playoff points. I think once we get into this playoffs, I think that playoff point thing, I think it's going to get smaller and smaller. Yes, this first round is going to be pretty. It's going to be pretty easy for Martin Truex, but once we start getting to round two and round three, I don't think that gap, that the distance between first and second, is going to be as significant as it looks right now.
And as much of an advantage as everybody wants to say Truex has, nobody's talking about the stage points that we've seen Ricky Stenhouse earn. I mean, Ricky Stenhouse is like fourth on the chart with the playoff points. The kid's gone out there. He's done what he's supposed to. He's got him a couple of segment wins. He's got him a couple of race wins. And, you know, everybody talks about the favoriteness that Truex has. We're also looking at a driver like Stenhouse who could have a significant boost with these playoff points. I mean, you know, you're talking about Roush not being strong in some tracks, and we've always talked that. There's certain tracks where Roush just doesn't run good, Martinsville included. So now Ricky gets to go into Martinsville not so worried about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, technically he's sixth in the points. They got Kyle Busch in seventh, but he's got more playoff points. Once the playoff reset, Stenhouse would actually be sixth in the points. But I agree. It makes it a little bit easier for Ricky. And what I like about it is where we had Chris Buescher last year that didn't have a chance to get through the first round. The year before, we had AJ Allmendinger that really didn't have a shot of winning the championship. Now these guys have an opportunity to work all year long and give themselves a better opportunity. Now it's going to look like, you know, I think it's going to be easier for Stenhouse to get through round one and possibly round two, knowing that he is ahead of Kurt Busch by 5 points, Ryan Newman by 5 points, Denny Hamlin by 3 points, Casey Kane by 5 points, and so forth and so forth. I think that, you know, the Cinderella stories are now going to have the opportunity to be more of a reality or a real shot versus just being a Cinderella story.
Yeah, definitely good points there tonight. We do want to remind you guys that tomorrow night's Hot Laps with Stats, Mike Perricone. Guys, if y'all haven't checked out some of his shows, he really gets in-depth with short track racing up around the New York area and abroad. And he's always got a good show on Friday nights. We always want you guys listening to the 110 Nation. Of course, we are the only nation in sports, the 110 Nation. I want to thank Mr. CJ Sports. Craig got stuck at work, and so he wasn't able to join us tonight. But we'll look forward to having him on again in 2 weeks here. Like I said, next week's going to be a little bit different show. We're going to have our fifth annual Street Stock Heavy Metal Madness show. I'll have some guys coming on from Florida that is going to be up here at the Southern Street Stock Nationals race at Wynot Motorsports Park. It's a big event. Man, there is all kinds of tons of prizes and contingency awards available for this huge event here at my local track in Wynot, Mississippi. Just before we leave there, Mr. CJ Sports, I do want to give the Vegas odds. Of course, you can go to VegasInsider.com for this information. They're not a sponsor for our show, but who knows, man. Maybe we can get them on board here for the next season show as we start to rebrand. And really, I'm looking forward to what the future holds here at the 110 Nation. And adding Craig Moore to our group is only going to benefit all of us. So without Craig being here, I kind of don't want to get too much into that, but Craig Moore is going to be a part of the 110 Nation staff here, and we want to congratulate him on earning his way in from a guest analysis to an actual commentary broadcaster here at the 110 Nation. So at the surprise, I'm going to let you call it, Mr. CJ Sports. Who do you think's at the top of the charts to win, at the top of the Vegas odds to win this weekend at Watkins Glen?
Would it be AJ Allmendinger?
No, AJ is actually 10-1. He's sitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's sitting 6th on the charts. And you know, Vegas likes Martin Truex Jr., man. I'm going to tell you right now, Vegas has given the spread to Martin Truex Jr. all year long. He's a 4-1 odd. Also, Kyle Busch will be tied with him on that 4-1 odd. Brett Keselowski's third with an 8-1 odd. Then
Clint Bowyer. Where's Clint Bowyer?
Okay, hold on just a second. Yeah, yeah. Kurt Busch is actually fourth with a 17-2. Him and Kevin Harvick are both 17-2 odds. AJ Allmendinger, like we said earlier, is sixth with a 10-1 odds. And Clint Bowyer, sits right outside AJ Allmendinger with a 10-1 odd as well. So Vegas knows a couple of things about road course racers. I see a few big names, but the surprise, surprise, Martin Truex Jr. getting the same amount of love that Kyle Busch has from the Vegas bookies. So maybe they know something we don't know. Martin Truex Jr. isn't typically a name that you think of being a good road course racer. But with all that said, Mr. CJ Sports, who you got this weekend for your pick?
Oh, lordy, lordy. I think Kyle Busch continues to carry his momentum. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Kyle Busch back in a victory late again this week.
Kyle Busch for the win. You know, I'm going to have to put it out there. I have strong feelings about Danica Patrick. She's talking to me. Don't let Ricky know. She's been calling me on the side.
You need to worry about Ricky. You need to worry about the guy at this end over here.
So anyway, as stunning as it sounds, man, I've got my money on the number 10 this week, man. I mean, am I off the wall for that? Mike, text in your pick as well. I tried to get the pick from Craig Moore, and I talked to him just a little bit earlier. So hopefully before we close out the show, we'll have his pick. But Danica Patrick from Vegas, well, let's see how they fare, Danica. Danica's going to be your best pick because I don't even think that she made the bookie odds. So Danica is obviously an 80-1 pick for the win, and that means that I would actually take money home from Vegas if I were to pick her and bet on her this weekend. Of course, you know, gambling may not be legal in your state, so we are not going to use that as a point. We're not telling you to go out and gamble, but we are giving you the odds from Vegas. And as I followed sports over the years, I found that Vegas knows a little bit about everything, especially when you can bet on it. So Craig Moore sent his pick in. He's got Junior for this weekend. How about that? Craig Moore picks Junior to win at Watkins Glen. You know, I've seen his daddy win at a road course, so who knows? Maybe this will be Dale Junior's year, and he'll be able to pick him up a road course victory. What do you think about that pick, CJ Sports? I mean, I picked Danica Patrick. You went with your guard. You went with Kyle. I stepped out the box and went with Danica Patrick. But dang, I think Craig just floored me with the Junior pick.
Yeah, I never would have picked Junior. And Danica, to me, is not a bad pick. Last four races, top 15. 9 out of the last 10 races, she's been in the top 25. They're getting things right over there. The 10 team. Do I think she's going to win a race? Probably not. I like your pick, obviously being a Danica fan. Mike chimed in. He's got AJ Allmendinger as well.
Segment racing could change the game. Danica has a great crew chief over at the Stewart Haas Racing. A lot of engineers over there, a lot of smart minds. I think Danica, if she runs a clean race and stays out of everybody else's trouble, you could see a dominant force from that number 10 Ford this weekend with Danica Patrick behind the wheel. I want to see her win. I want to see it happen. We've sat around and watched the underdogs win before. This is one of those tracks where she can be good. She just has to make sure that she has the right brake package there at Watkins Glen. So, I think that we're all pretty solidified in our picks. We'll obviously see somebody else win because I think that we're very, very rarely do any of us actually pick the winner every week. So, as a matter of fact, I don't know if we've actually picked a winner yet. Do you, CJ Sports?
I don't remember.
Maybe next year we'll have to keep score on that.
No,
so anyway,
I think the week that Ryan Blaney won, I think I called it that week.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll give you 1 point then. Yeah, we need to keep up with that better. So anyway, guys, we want to thank y'all for listening to Racing with Big Sweat. Don't forget, 9-1 is the memorial for Big Steve, Steve Sweat, Big Steve Bill Myers, otherwise known as Big Sweat. 91 was his number that they he raced with through much of his career as a team owner. And so we want to recognize him on 9-1. Of course, if it wasn't for Steve, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, I've enjoyed working with the partners here at 110. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes that make things happen all the time. We want to give them always a shout out. But, you know, this year has gone by kind of fast without Steve. But without bringing too much into it, man, I think Steve would be proud of the direction the show's gone. I have announced earlier this year that we would probably change the name of the show. We're in discussion now, guys, and so I believe after discussing tonight, we will be keeping the Thursday night time slot for the NASCAR show that we have coming up for next season. We haven't decided on the name yet, so I won't give any ideas or any clues to that just yet. We're still working out some things. We want to make sure that we have the domain name and all that already signed up before we make an announcement, because, you know, we're so popular that if we were to leak that information, who knows, maybe somebody would try to outdo us on the domain. But anyway, race fans, we want to thank y'all for listening in. It's always the same bat time, same bat place, Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you guys are listening for next week. Also, this weekend, if you're anywhere around the Meridian, Mississippi area, I-20 area, around the Mississippi mark, come on down to Why Not Motorsports Park. Saturday night, we'll have the Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series Super Late Models, the 800 ground-pounding, hot-tempered, dirt-flying acrobats of the Speedway out on the racetrack. I tell you what, if you haven't seen these Super Late Models, you have missed some great racing. So come on out to Why Not Motorsports Park this Saturday night out in Why Not, Mississippi, down Highway 19 South. We hope to see you there. And as Rodney Wing would say, be there. So, Mr. CJ Sports, thank you once again for giving us this night and this airtime to talk about racing. I had a good time. How about you, bud?
Yes, sir. Had a blast.
All right. Well, go ahead and give those closing effects and make a shout-out to Mike, and we'll close the books here.
I want to make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation. Give us a like over on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com. Tomorrow night, Hot Lap with Stats, 8 o'clock. Got David Koenig of Dangerous Racing, who campaigns a truck in the New England Truck Series and Riverhead Raceway. His second guest on our pair of Daves will be Dave Schneider, who won his first modified feature at Riverhead this past Saturday. Also, I got to thank Fit for Life, I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio, great marketing partners. Got to thank them as well.
All right, man. It's been a great night, and like I said, make sure you listen to Racing with Big Sweat. We will be on for the rest of the year, and any changes that will be made, I guarantee you, it'll just be in name, not in concept. We got a good thing going here, and we appreciate all your listeners. Follow the 110 Nation throughout the week with all kinds of updates and news. I do a lot of the NASCAR fill-in, and the rest of the team brings together a lot of the other sports, including NASCAR as well. So thank you guys for listening. We want to shout out once again to I-95 and Mile High Radio. And we'll see y'all next Thursday night for our special 2-hour presentation.